a record, you take it off. You put on another. Does anyone listen to this program except my wife?
91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.
All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. It's February 13th, 2019. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. I'm here with my co-host, or he'll be here soon, Ron Maniza. If you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. Today, I'm very excited to once again present you with my friend and neighbor, Diane Dorfer, who runs Cobblestone Farm, which is a wonderful farm over on Bassett's Bridge Road here in Mansfield. And she runs a CSA out of it with the invaluable help of her husband, Brian Connolly, and her two awesome kids, William and Cordelia. Welcome, Diane.
Hey.
Oh, let's do one of these. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Hey, Diane.
How's that?
That is awesome.
All right.
Good
morning.
And I also have with me, I have Jeff Martin, who I'm very pleased to meet with, to introduce you to you today. And she's the Sustainable Food System Associate Educator for UConn Extension, right?
That's right. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome, Jeff. And then we have Sydney Clements?
Yeah.
Yes, and it's Sydney Clements, and she is with the Wyndham Community Food Network. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, good. And you also work with Grow Wyndham and the new CT Farmers Alliance.
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So we've got three terrific guests today, and they've got all sorts of cool stuff that they'd like to talk about. So I'd like to give you the floor and have you talk about what you would like. And I think the first thing that you wanted to talk about, is it true, is the Friends and Farmers Family Fun Night? Okay, well, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Fran. So this is an event that's going to be happening at the Mansfield Community Center next Friday evening, starting at 5:30. And this is an opportunity for people in the area to meet farmers that are offering CSA. So a CSA is a special opportunity if somebody wants to pick up a weekly share of produce from an area farmer. This is the way to do it. And this is a special night because it actually coincides with something called CSA Day. It's a national sort of celebration of CSAs. And what we've organized is we've invited six farmers, CSA farmers, from around here to come to the community center and give folks an opportunity to walk in, visit, talk to the farmers, ask them about their production practices, ask them how the CSA works, how does the pickup work. And so this type of event has never happened in our community, so we're really excited to do this. And of course, we have Diane's farm, Cobblestone Farm will be there, along with Cloverleaf Farm, Gurleyville Native Produce, Ghost Fawn Homestead, which is out of Willington, Raspberry Knoll Farm, which is out of North Wyndham, and Willow Valley Farm, which is also out of Willington. So we're so excited to have all six farms there.
We have a lot of farms that do CSAs in this area.
Yeah, we're very lucky, actually.
It's a really great thing. I don't remember getting to the area that there were this many opportunities to join CSAs. The CSAs are so invaluable. They're just incredible.
I think you're right. It's been blossoming in our community just the past few years.
Yeah. So you said that this event is happening on February 22nd,
yep.
Which is that's Friday evening.
Friday evening at the community center in Mansfield.
Right. Very nice. That's so exciting. So, Jeff, because you're gonna have to go soon. So why don't you tell us? So you're involved in this directly, but tell us some of the other things you're involved in.
Sure. Well, this event is one of a series of events that's been organized by a group called Taste of Mansfield. And Taste of Mansfield is a new community initiative. It's trying to bring the community together around local food. And it's really a collaborative. It includes the Mansfield's Agriculture Committee, the Economic Development Commission, the library, the schools, the senior center, certainly the Stores Farmers Market, the Advocates for Children, and Parks and Recreation, as well as Yukon Extension. And so we've all sort of come together to find events, and maybe events that we're already doing, but they have sort of a local food feel, and help promote them so more people know that they can come to these events, connect with their community, and taste local food. And that's Taste of Mansfield.
That's great. So that there's a lot going on there too. So how did you get involved because you're the your role is
sustainable food system.
Yes. You're the state. Yes. So what does that mean, the sustainable food system associate educator? What is that?
So as part of our role at this land grant institution at UConn, we have Extension, which is the part of the university that goes out and does public education. And my specific field is around sustainable food systems, which means I get to put on programs that sort of basically introduce the public to opportunities to learn about local food, learn about sustainable agriculture, even learn how to farm. And I'm part of that unit at the university. So that's how I got involved. And of course, I live in Mansfield. And so I just couldn't help but bring my work right here into the community and seize on this opportunity.
How have I not met you? I don't understand that.
Well, this initiative's only, a year and a half old.
But so. Taste of Mansfield is, it's seeming like it's becoming a really nice opportunity for synergy, because there's all of these groups doing interesting things around local food in town, but sometimes we're all doing it in our own little bubble, whereas Taste of Mansfield is helping, you know, it's helping that Venn diagram overlap more, you know? So, I mean, just being here today is kind of part of that.
Yeah.
How long has Taste of Mansfield been going on?
It's just a year and a half. And, okay. And truthfully, all the partners, they just don't have... Like, not everybody has a communications staff person. And so this is really a joint communications platform. It's like we create a Facebook page, we create an Instagram page, a website. That way, everybody's events can be promoted more successfully.
Yeah. It's so exciting. It's just really exciting to have, first of all, you know, as a naturopath, I'm very excited for people to have opportunities to taste healthy food and have access to healthy food and have a lot of ways to get to healthy food and healthy food that's affordable, which is, you know, some of the programs make that happen. On the one hand, if you learn how to farm, at least to farm for your own produce, that can be more affordable than buying it. So that's something we can teach people to do. And then having people just make that connection with their food and with the earth, and learning what it means to grow really healthy, sustainable produce. The more programs, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And we're just really blessed that we have so many different great farmers in this area, so many different great CSAs, and that we have ongoing programs that are promoting all of this coming together.
Yeah, if I could just mention that under Taste of Mansfield, or as a part of Taste of Mansfield, the schools in particular have been doing a tremendous job here in the Mansfield District in terms of integrating local food on the menus. And they've also been putting on community dinners, which is a pretty exciting opportunity. It's free. And we just had one in January. We'll have another one in March, I think. And basically the food service director here, Stephanie Richard, has sort of embraced this idea of buying from local farmers like Diane and others right here and in the surrounding community. And she's putting that product on the menu. She's buying it in the summer and processing it, freezing it, so she can put it on the menu in the winter. And she's putting on these community dinners, which are free and open to all, where she gets to feature some of this food for everyone.
Yeah. So if you're a Mansfield resident listening, you could totally give a shout out to your Board of Ed and let them know that you think this is really important, because she's doing a ton of work, Stephanie. And it's really important for the Board of Ed to know that she's got community support.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, we always say that learning about healthy eating happens it should be happening at the level of the schools, of the elementary schools, elementary education. That's where it should begin. And so if there's programs that are coming from that direction, I'm all for it.
Yeah. We could change the world with a 12-year plan, starting in first grade and then working your way up. I mean, think about it. This is not a difficult thing. We could change healthcare, as everyone knows it. We could change diet, exercise, physical fitness, the whole thing from grade one up. But that's the emphasis that we have to have.
How many times have you experienced your children coming home and saying, "Mom, I learned this in school, and we have to do this way now because teacher says," you know, it's something that they learned.
All the time.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you, I don't know if you heard about that hearing we had about the plastic bags recently, but it was so interesting how that nugget about plastic bags hurting the ocean, you know, creatures in the ocean, has just somehow, I don't know, we've hit a tipping point and it's just resonating through the kids, the youngest kids.
Yes.
And somehow they've just latched onto that lesson.
Yeah.
And also Santa.
That's great. Yes. And then there's Santa. Right, yes. Who was talking about saving the whales back when she was,
six.
What, three?
or maybe three. Exactly. She had a PSA on here when she was six, and she's still doing it. It's amazing.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I'm just thrilled for the work that you're doing. Are there other projects you wanted to make sure you talk to us about today, Jif?
No, I just wanted people to know about Taste of Mansfield because we're still in the sort of new stages, and I want people to know about it. Check out our events because we're trying to plan things every couple of months or something to do.
And so go ahead and tell us if people are interested in keeping up to date on what's going on with Taste of Mansfield. Go ahead and tell us where they can contact people or where they can look.
The website is tasteofmansfieldct.com or .org. And we have a Facebook page. We have Instagram as well. If you went to the website, you could sign up for emails. And that's probably the most practical way right now to get email notifications from us when the next event is coming. That, again, we're just trying to promote. We're helping everybody promote those events.
Yeah. Okay, great. So
thank you, Fran.
Yeah, you bet. It's. I'm so glad that you came. So stick around as long as you can.
So, Fran, maybe before we do lose Jif, we could talk more about CSAs in general and how they work and what a person might ask of themselves, of the farmers, because a lot of CSAs are similar, but there's a lot of differences too.
Yeah. And
CSA, what she said.
Yeah, CSA is not for everybody, but it's a pretty exciting adventure if you decide to join a CSA. I mean, the classic or typical CSA model is that you pay an amount of money at the beginning of the year, typically in the spring, so that the farmer has those resources to buy their seeds and any other inputs that they need. And then starting usually in June, maybe for 20 or 22 weeks, the family visits the farm once a week and picks up a box share of product. Sometimes they actually can kind of pick and choose what's in that box, and sometimes the box is already pre-packed for them. But within that model, there's tons of variation. Sometimes there's add-ons, like you could get eggs maybe this week or flowers this week. Some farms will let you pick your own, like maybe the flowers are there, but you have to go out into the field and pick them. Or maybe the cherry tomatoes are there, but you're going to go out into the field and pick them. So each farmer really runs it a little bit differently. I would say all CSA farmers are very in touch with their customers and are really paying attention to what their customers care about. Many of them are organic, certified organic, or practicing organically production methods. So the opportunity to come meet a farmer, whether it's at the CSA night at the community center next Friday or even at the Know Your Farmer Fair, which is on Saturday, the 23rd, the opportunity is to talk to farmers and ask them, well, how does your CSA model work? What's your production practices? What kind of crops do you grow? How many weeks will I be able to pick up produce? Maybe do you offer a winter share as well as a summer share? Are there special add-ons? What time of day are the pickups? Are there choices for pickups? Because many CSAs might have a Wednesday pickup and a Saturday pickup, and you can choose which pickup is better for you. So it's really helpful to go out and meet the farmer. Getting into a CSA is a lot about forming this really personal relationship with your farmer who's going to grow food for you And it's going to transform how you cook as well, because you're going to be bringing home a lot of fresh product. And you need to work with that product. You're nodding your head, Fran, like you're a CSA member maybe. But when you bring home that product, you've got to deal with that. It's in your fridge and like, wow, what am I going to do with all that kale? Wow, you know, look at that kohlrabi. Do I know what a kohlrabi is? So it does transform a lot of what you might be eating as well, which is exciting if you like to cook.
What do you do with all that kale? Kale is not on my top 10. Love it. Can't live without it list.
Which is a little frustrating for me because it is on mine.
Yeah. Well, for what it's worth, a lot of people, you can freeze kale. Like, you could chop it up and shove it in a bag and put it in the freezer. You don't have to blanch it or do anything special. So if you live in a household where one person loves something and the other person is like, ugh, you could like put it in your eggs in the morning and the other person doesn't have to. Exactly. Ew. One person loves it. The other person says,
yeah,
no thanks.
No.
I really just want tons of garlic in my egg.
Sure. Or right. Hot sauce or anything, but not kale.
Right. Mm. So...
I know.
I feel like we're not going to convert you here this morning.
Oh, no. But. No, it's not. The baby kale, the really tiny kale, I can stomach. I can deal with that.
He has a texture issue with it.
Well,
yeah,
than anything else.
It's just, there's something wrong about it.
I don't know
what to say.
Well, I don't
know
what to say either, because it's not going to
really
change.
Good for you. I understand all that. But.
So one thing that we do for our CSA is give choice within categories. So... on a given day, you might, like if you were a full share, you might choose two bunches of greens and two bunches of root vegetables. But within that choice of greens, there's kale, but also lettuce and maybe some bok choy, Swiss chard. So you get what you want. Like, some people like adventure cooking, and they want to try new things every week, and they want to figure it out, and they want
to
Google it. And then some people are like, man, I love my salad and my carrots, and that's what I want to get every week. And that's a question to ask of your CSA farmers. It's like, what kind of choice do I have? And so, you know, if you're a family with teens, you probably... aren't going to be the most flexible family when it comes to food. Like, realistically, a lot of times kids' eating habits get kind of set for a while there.
Yeah.
And so that might be a little tricky. So you have a certain kind of question you might need to ask. Whereas if you have a four-year-old, that's like an awesome opportunity to introduce this whole variety of foods. And so, you know, people think about how they use produce in their own houses.
Mm-hmm. It's also, it's a marriage with seasonality. So joining a CSA is when you sort of commit to, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try eating seasonally. And you learn a lot in that journey because you start to realize, oh, you know, the sweet potatoes really aren't even available until pretty late in the year. And, you know, I was looking for that spinach, but boy, August is really not a great time to have spinach. It turns out the farmer had to explain that to me. So you learn a lot about like when things are in season. And but then, of course, the flavor, you're rewarded for that marriage because the flavors of these products that have just been harvested just for you, they haven't traveled, they haven't been stored somewhere. They've just, other than like in a cooler overnight, those products are really special and they keep for extra long in your refrigerator.
Yeah, it's so tremendous. I get disappointed when the spinach goes away because I'm a big fan of the Saag Paneer.
Yeah.
So
we'll be making that this week.
Yeah. Because Brian got the... he got the spinach going already.
The spinach is great because it's very hardy, so it grows in the early season and in the late season. So
right.
You can, but then it disappears in the summer because it's too hot.
Yeah,
it
can't handle that heat. No. But it's amazing what local farmers can do to really extend
season.
I mean, you go outside right now and, like, nothing is growing.
Right.
Except at these little farms where people have high tunnels or low tunnels, and they're pulling pounds and pounds of spinach and salad greens right now.
Which I know.
You're making a monster tunnel right now. What are you doing down there? It gets bigger every day.
Yeah,
it gets bigger and bigger. There's a greenhouse. I don't know if you haven't noticed. There's a framework for a greenhouse, Fran.
I have to pay more attention. See, my problem with driving
past... You look at the road. I know.
I'm on my way somewhere or on my way home. I have to pay more attention.
So Fran and Ron literally live down the road from us.
Yeah.
So.
Every week I go by, the greenhouse framework gets a little longer and a little longer, a little longer. I was just wondering what you were, where you were going with that.
Yeah, we're going 5 more hoops.
Really?
And then that part is done.
Wow.
And then we start building the end
walls.
Thank
you so much for... I just wanted, before you go on, I wanted to thank Jif for being here today. Jif has to carry on with her day and her kids.
Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Ron.
Because we had a delayed opening in Mansfield today. Yeah. So,
we did, didn't we?
Yeah. It was so lovely to meet you. I hope I actually get to meet you and have a conversation with you.
Yeah. Well, this was a good start. Thank you.
All right. You take care. Have a great day. Have fun at school, kids. What are the kids' names?
Ellie and Robin.
Ellie and Robin. Ellie and Robin, was so great to meet you. Thank you for coming, and I hope to see you soon. Take care, Jif.
Bye, Diane. Bye.
All right. Bye. Yeah.
All right. Now Sydney has her very own microphone.
Yeah. Yes, yes, you can go wherever you like. And Sydney, if you're ready to talk about things, you may. And we also have the Know Your Farmer Fair. So wherever you would like to head next, hit
well,
it.
Well, yeah, what?
While we're talking about CSAs, we should have talked about the Know Your Farmer Fair.
Okay.
So the next morning, following the family and farmer friends night, a lot of Fs, there'll be a Know Your Farmer Fair. It's the 4th annual Know Your Farmer Fair at the Wyndham Town Hall from 10 to 1. And it's a free event, and we will have over 30 farmers this year from Eastern Connecticut.
Wow.
Yeah. And so most of them have CSAs, so you can go. It's a chance to meet, just an influx, a ton of people to figure out what CSA program is the right for you.
Yeah. That's great. So I know you came on and talked about the Know Your Farmer Fair last year. So this is like a 2-day get into your farming. And it's right around George Washington's birthday, which is basically, it's the Friday is George Washington's birthday. And I guess he was a farmer too. Well, yeah, he wanted to grow the hemp, which is a whole other story. So at some point we'll get into that. But that's incredible. It's 2 days of that family fun farmer. One is at the Mansfield Community Center, and then one is at Wyndham Town Hall. And so that's really exciting. So there's going to be a lot of stuff there. 30 farms, really?
Yep.
Wow. And so tell us what's going to be at that Know Your Farmer. When you get there, what can you expect to find?
There will be a Know Your Farmer bingo where you can go around and talk to as many farmers as you can. And you can hand in that bingo ticket for a raffle, to be entered into a raffle.
They make us do that when I go to the New Hampshire Naturopathic Conference. They do that. They give us a card and we have to go visit all the vendors.
Forces you to have conversations.
Yeah, exactly. You submit it and then you win something, right? And there's a raffle at the end. Exactly. That's a great idea because it makes it so that you are you have a reason to go in. I mean, you have a reason just because for being there, but it's its own reward. But then you're going to go around and talk to everybody.
Yeah,
it's really good.
And we'll also have demonstrations on seed saving, fermentation, mushroom growing,
beekeeping?
Beekeeping,
Nice.
Yeah.
We need to keep bees because the insects are endangered. Yeah.
Also, it's a problem. It was just announced that we may lose our insects within the next 100 years.
Which means we're going to lose a lot of
If we don't do something about,
which means
general,
that's kind of
general
it.
Stupidity.
All right. I can't do anything about, the next 100 years. Or,
mm-hmm.
But. On May 5th.
Know Your Insect Day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So my husband, Brian Connolly, and I are going to host a, what do we call it? Monarch and Pollinators Tour or something or other at the farm.
You can call it What's the Buzz.
Yeah, there you go. So this will be organized through the Mansfield Public Library.
Nice.
And we're going to offer a tour of the farm so that people can learn about native and cultivated plants that help support monarchs and other butterflies and bees and wasps and all kinds of beneficial insects. And people can learn about the plants themselves, how to take care of them in their yard, what might work in their yard. And we have a really nice patch of milkweed, so people can even dig some up, take it home for themselves. So
wow.
Stay tuned.
Does milkweed propagate itself easily?
It spreads rhizomatously. So yeah. Once you have some, you should be good.
You're committed.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. So you have to put it in a place where you like it.
Right. So if you have milkweed, you're going to be more likely to get monarchs.
It is true.
Wow. Very nice.
And then there's tons of other plants that are really easy that help support other butterflies. If you plant parsley consistently year to year, you're more likely to get different types of swallowtails.
Nice.
Because the caterpillars feed on it. Uh-huh. It's super cool.
Yeah.
So
they're so pretty.
All kinds of interesting things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That's exciting. So you are going to have a know your bug kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's excellent.
But at the Know Your Farmer Fair, there'll be someone doing a beekeeping demo. So that's pretty great, too, because there's a lot of interest in that. Yeah.
Sure. Well, you get honey. You get honey and you get beeswax. And if you're so inclined, you get propolis. And you just get a lot of good stuff when you get the bees. And you get to know bees, which is always a good thing. Because interacting with any kind of animal, no matter how you interact with it, even if it's a snake or a bee or a butterfly or a fish or a pig or a cow or a chicken or a dog or cat, it's all good for you.
It's always good to have more friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have to be the same species as you. That's so great.
Even if they bite and sting, they're still good.
We learn how to respect each other, right?
Right, exactly.
Well, biting and stinging critters are still pollinators.
A lot of them, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you have, stinging, biting things that keep the bugs at bay. Like if you didn't have spiders, you'd have an overpopulation of all kinds of insects that you don't necessarily want. So they keep things in balance.
Right.
And, you know, spiders are really, they're not an insect, but they're really essential to the ecosystem as well. People are so afraid of spiders, and yet really you should leave them alone.
Oh, yeah.
Or if they come into your house, you should escort them outside.
Yeah.
Unless there's those daddy long legs. I don't know what to do with those. If I would deal with my daddy. I was doing exercises on the floor today, and I looked up at the ceiling, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty. What's that? It looks like a dragon. No, it's not a dragonfly. It's a daddy long legs. They're
everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. If I would spend time de-daddy long legsing my house.
We cultivate them in our house.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. They're just ridiculous. It's just so you live in the woods, and you have daddy long legs spiders. So anyway, so if you go to that Know Your Farmer Fair, people want to know, are there going to be things to taste?
Mm. Actually, maybe not so much. Because sampling is this whole separate process
you have to
go through with the health department.
I gotcha.
And all.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll have to use your imagination.
There'll be things to buy, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. So that's exciting. So it's 30 farmers. So you're going to get a lot of diversity, of produce.
Yeah. And it's a pretty big geographic area, too.
Yes.
So this is where is the what is it? The family, the friends and farmers family fun night is pretty focused on the Mansfield area. The Know Your Farmer Fair is focused on really northeastern Connecticut.
Wow.
So there's farms from Windham, Tolland, and
New London
counties.
Nice.
Yeah.
So three counties.
So it's much broader. Yeah.
That's very exciting. Yeah. So
and a lot of different kinds of farmers, like beekeepers, veggie farmers,
something
orchards.
Happened. What happened to me? I think last year I was going to go, but I was going to Florida, but then I got sick, so I didn't go anyway because I was sick. Because this is my time of year to get sick, apparently.
It happens.
Oh, boy. It's only so much echinacea and elder and A and neti potting you can do, apparently.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm excited that I am just so thrilled, and I feel just so blessed to live in this area that we have just such amazing produce and such dedication to farming, and that you don't feel like farmers are those guys over there. You feel like they're your friends and your neighbors, and they're people that you know and people that you can talk to. And one of the best things about, like, you and Brian and Anita and you know, Raluca and Ed is, look, I just said everybody's name. I know where you all live. I know your kids. We all have relationships. I can talk to you about how you grow your food. I love to visit you, especially in the summer because Brian and what's my relationship with Brian and his tomatoes?
Oh my goodness. I'm pretty
weird.
Passionate about
I know.
This.
Brian's tomatoes are just, yes, because he does seeds with the tomatoes, and he loves to hybridize tomatoes, and they're all different colors and all different shapes and all different sizes. And I just go wacky over their tomatoes, and I can, you know, and I go over there and I'm their neighbor, and I'm very busy with my naturopathic practice, so it's hard for me to even keep a garden. And I just appreciate that there are people in my community growing food for me and my patients so that I don't necessarily have to do it. And it's amazing food. It's just really unbelievable. And I mean, literally, I mean, I literally run by your house or ride my bike by your house. And if I yell and you say hello, I get points.
Yeah. I love the shout outs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep.
We get a Diane lot of bikes. I do CSA too. And I think they've ruined winter tomatoes for me. Like, I can't eat any tomatoes during the winter now.
Right.
They just taste so bland.
Yes. It's true. I mean, we have a brand of tomatoes that we buy this time of year, but oh my God, there's no comparison.
Yeah,
no comparison. Oh my goodness. So, I just feel so fortunate. So, all right. Have you talked about all the events that are happening, or are there more events that you wanted to make sure you talked about?
Let's see.
Because you were going to talk about the Storrs Farmers Market,
too. Oh, yeah. There is so much good stuff happening at the Storrs Farmers Market this year. So, the Storrs Farmers Market does go year-round. Right now, we're indoors at the Mansfield Public Library.
Yes, and it's this Saturday.
It is this Saturday.
And I'll be
there. And
there
will be spinach and salad greens and all kinds of lovely things.
Yeah.
And
when are you making the sog paneer?
When am I making it?
Yeah.
I don't know. When would you like me to
Tonight.
Make? Tonight. Oh.
You might have to wait until Saturday night.
Oh.
Sorry.
Well, we still have some spinach.
Oh, you better use it up then.
We could make it tonight.
We can make it Saturday also.
There you go.
Yeah.
That too.
If things are good, you can make them twice. It's
that
okay.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, the thing about sog paneer is, I've talked about it before, but, you know, you have spinach. And spinach is interesting because spinach is not a cruciferous vegetable. It is an amaranthaceae. So it's in the same family as quinoa and amaranth, which is interesting. And lamb's ears.
Right.
I'm pointing to my ear.
And beets.
Beets are in amaranthaceae too. I did not realize that. Yeah. So they're not, of course, because they don't seem cruciferous, do they now?
Right.
And yet radishes and turnips kind of do.
They are.
Well, because they got that. You know, cruciferous, I think one of the things they have in common is they're stanky.
Yeah. They have these different kinds of compounds.
Because
they're
sulfur. They've got sulfur compounds in them,
stanky,
which makes them,
dear.
They're stanky, yeah.
Well, it's cool because the reason they're called cruciferous is what their seedlings look like.
Uh-huh.
When they first germinate, the first two leaves that come out are the cotyledons, and it's like what would have been inside the seed.
Yes.
And they're very consistent, that family, what those first two leaves look like, and it kind of looks like a cross.
So it doesn't
so
even matter
what
cruciferous, whether it's a cauliflower or a broccoli or a cabbage or a
radish
or a chard or a...
Well, the chard is more related to spinach and beets.
Oh, chard
also.
is not an amaranth. Okay. What family is... That's a good question. What family is is chard in? I forget. It might be an amaranth. You're right.
Yeah.
It's an amaranthaceae as well. Right. Because it's not so... But collards.
Collards would be brassicas.
Yeah. Collards are a collard family. Yes. Collard... if you put in collard family, it's a surname. So... it doesn't tell you right away. That's pretty funny.
So taxonomy's changed over time, right?
And right?
So Yeah, it's like it's cruciferous, yes. But they're also brassicas.
They're and cruciferous it's and same, brassicas same. Not the same.
It is. Oh, it's just the terminology changes over time. Yeah.
Well, Brassicaceae, I think, is the name of the family, but cruciferous is referring to what you just said.
Right,
that when the seed opens, it makes that cross.
Right.
Yeah, so that's so a characteristic of the Brassicaceae is, you know, that's we think of that as the mustard family.
Right.
And one characteristic is they have lots of interesting sulfur compounds.
Totally.
Which makes them, that's what makes them stanky and spicy.
That's the technical term.
Yes. Which also makes them great for detoxification. You know, because sulfur compounds, a lot of the sulfur, the compounds in your liver that are involved with detoxification have sulfur in them. So your methionine and your cysteine and your calcium deglucarate, your glucuric acid, they all got some thiols in them. Thiols are, you know, have sulfur in them. So, and you have isothiocyanate, but isothiocyanates are in they're in onions and garlic, which also are stanky and have sulfur compounds in them, but are not brassicas, obviously.
So this is super tangential, but you're the right person to ask.
Okay.
Like, what's up with that? And then, like, the whole, was it food? What's the thing where you can't eat, like, those, wow. Sorry, this is really vague. Fructans?
Ah!
And, like, food map or whatever?
FODMAPs.
Thank you.
Yes. Right. So
what's the connection there?
So first of
with all those, because a lot of those things you can't eat if you have that fructan intolerance.
If you have a fructan intolerance, that's right. And that's a super, I mean, this is a can of worms and we don't want to spend too much time on it because we want to focus on all the events of what's going on. But anyway, the reason you pop that out is because the lily family that we eat, so onions and garlic are lilies, all those, onions, garlic, scallions,
leeks,
right. They're all in the same family. They're Liliaceae. So, and they are high in fructans. And so, so what you mentioned is FODMAPs. That's, all right. FODMAPs is fermentable oligo, di, monosaccharides and polyols. That's so these are long chain starch or starches that people, they're fermentable starches that people can have problems with. And so why people have problems with FODMAPs, there's a lot of talk about that. And why you talked about the fructans, right? Why it reminded you of that is because there are a lot of fructans in onions and garlic.
Right. And the brassicas.
And the brassicas as well. And that's why a lot of people get gas when they eat those things because some people don't.
Right.
You know, and I'm one of those lucky people that, you know, back when when the blood type diet was very, very popular, you know, they divided the blood. Now Diadamo divides the blood types into genotypes. So it's more, there's more categorizations than just A, B, O, and A, B. But when you do the standard blood typing diet, the people with type A tend to do very well as vegetarians. And I fit into that because I can eat salad all day. I can eat all the vegetables you want, all the vegetables and fruit. And I have no problem like that. Those things don't particularly upset my digestion. If I don't eat beans for a long time and I eat beans that aren't super well cooked, I might, you know, have some issue. But if I eat well cooked lentils, no problem. And so the thing is, I am not sure why some people have problems than others. Obviously, one of the reasons that there's a difference is differences in microbiota, that the your microflora in your digestive system differs from person to person. You have, you know, biochemical or you have species individuality in terms of your microflora in your digestive system. So people who have either disordered microflora or they have a microflora that's incompatible with particular items are not going to do as well with those items because they're high in those fermentable starches. And there are, you know, there are lists of for people who have issues with FODMAPs. There are lists of things that might be more suitable for you to eat that are lower in fructans and, you know, oligopolyols, the different chain lengths of saccharides, so that you don't get your gas or even worse digestive issues. I don't. So what I'm not sure of is that innate? How much of that is innate? Because some of the microflora, because of biochemical individuality, people's microflora obviously is going to differ from person to person. You know, if you are born, one of the things that makes my head explode is when I see parents starting their baby's first food as rice cereal. I don't even get me started. I will start screaming because parents, please don't do that. That really, when you get down to basics, quite honestly, I think we were meant to be essentially paleo, what we think of as paleo, that, you know, the first diet that people ate was basically, you know, meat, wild meat when they can get it. And when they couldn't get it, people foraged because farming wasn't invented yet. So before farming was invented, people ate fruits and vegetables that they could find, whatever they could find, maybe nuts and seeds if they could find that. And so that's what you should be starting your babies on. You know, and you started on things that first they can gum, because I'm sure that mommies back then figured it out. And you know how you see those celebrities that are doing that gross thing where they chew their baby's food and then give it to them? That's not gross. That makes sense.
They do.
I might not need to actually see it myself, but it's fine that they're doing it. All right.
Yeah. Okay. No, I understand. But I mean, if you were in the wild and you were foraging, your baby needed to eat. You wouldn't even think about it. That gross wasn't a thing back then.
Yeah. No.
So, I mean, it's gross now because it's not necessary, because you have all kinds of ways that you can make your food more, available to your baby.
Right.
But you can also find foods that are appropriate, that are age appropriate. But if you start your children eating real food from the word go, like I'm sure you did with William and Cordelia, and I know that Brian and Anita did with Clara May, they're going to have a wonderful taste for all kinds of different produce. And the other thing that you're doing, and people are always like, should I take a probiotic? Well, guess what you're doing when you eat organic or organically raised produce? You're eating probiotic all the time.
Yeah.
How do you think you get sauerkraut? Do you add culture to sauerkraut when you
don't.
Make it? No.
It's actually super cool because I think it was 2 years ago now. I honestly don't remember. Maybe it was through Boston University, but one of the schools up in the Boston area, microbiology lab, was doing research on what kinds of bacteria were just naturally living on produce from a whole bunch of different farms.
Right.
And they were surprised. So they came and sampled at our place, and they were surprised to learn that the lactobacteria and other things like that were pretty universal.
Wow.
All across all these different vegetable farms.
No kidding.
And so it's like, yeah. Eat things that have been outside recently.
Yes.
You know? Like,
exactly.
That'll be good. Yeah. Yeah.
Because the microbiota are in the soil.
Right.
Because how do you think you get your compost?
Right.
I mean, there's dirt is decaying organic matter. That's what it is. And minerals.
Yeah.
But there's decaying organic matter in there. And decaying organic matter means that there are microflora that are eating it and making all kinds of nutrients for you. So if you eat unsprayed, mindfully raised produce, it's going to have microflora on it. You don't necessarily need to take a probiotic. So if you start children from a very early age eating that way, and you mostly eat that way, you're going to acclimate your digestive system to having a lot of produce on board. Because I'm a big Michael Pollan fan. That one phrase that he said, and I repeat it over and over, which is, eat food, not too much. Mostly plants.
Yeah, right.
And that's what most people should do, whether they're keto or paleo or, you know, gluten-free or high carb or low carb. That's what, in my opinion, most people should be doing. If for some reason you have a condition where you can't do that, then maybe not. Because I did just read a study where somebody went on a paleo keto diet that actually included no vegetables to heal themselves from inflammatory bowel disease, and it worked. And they weren't able to eat produce. So that's a very special case. Mm. But otherwise, most people should be eating some sort of produce. But Yeah, these veggies, they're the ones you mentioned, the crucifers and the lilies, on your onions and garlic, and stuff like that. They're high in these fermentable starches, which makes them difficult for some people to eat. And some people will always have some difficulty with that. They just have to eat a low FODMAPs diet. And other people, I think, can acclimate to it. Like if you've just been eating a poor quality diet where you've been, you know, getting a lot of takeout and you've been eating, you know, sandwiches or you know, muffins or cereal for breakfast and sandwiches for lunch and pasta for dinner and, you know, takeout and grinders that are mostly bread and a little bit of meat and veggies, you're going to have trouble converting to a diet where you're having big salads and lots of soups and, you know, dipping your carrots in yummy dips and things. You're going to have trouble with that. So because you have to rework your, you just don't have the microflora because you can't digest cellulose and you can't digest the starches with the enzymes that we have innate in our bodies. You need the help from the enzymes that are actually in the produce as well as the enzymes that are found in the microflora.
Right, which you can get at the store's farmer's market and the yes. Willimantic Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
So Sydney has a couple things.
Yes, go ahead.
Because she does all kinds of great work.
Right. So make sure you keep talking. Otherwise, I'll go off on tangents like that.
Yeah. I knew there was a risk.
She does that. It's called the Fran Factor.
Yes. Yeah, so Sydney, please tell us what's going on.
So we actually just started our spring fundraising campaign for the Willimantic Farmers Market and the SNAP Double Dollars program we have there. Mm-hmm. Which is this super awesome program where you can go there and shop with your EBT card, right. Like your food stamps.
Yes.
Not only are families getting more fresh local produce, but also it's going back to the farmer. So they're getting extra money and we're bringing more federal dollars into our local economy.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah. And so Eastern students are fundraising at the Willimantic Food Co-op for that right now.
That's a really exciting thing to do. So one of the things that I hear, of course, is that it is costly to eat produce. So this is an example of a way where if you're, you know, financially challenged, if you have an EBT card, you can go to the Willimantic Farmers
Market.
Yeah,
we're trying to make it so that anyone can afford to eat healthy. It should just be a basic human right. Everyone should have access to produce and healthy food.
Well, that's the issue that grains in this country are subsidized, that mm-hmm. wheat, corn, and soy are subsidized. So the cheapest foods are made from those things. And produce is seen as a specialty item.
Right.
Another thing that makes me want to pull my
hair. For what it's worth, it is starting to change like a tiny bit.
I mean,
not massively. But I mean, the high tunnel that we're putting up, we got a grant through NRCS, which is Natural Resource Conservation Service, and it's a branch of the USDA.
Yeah.
And so they helped fund that project.
Yeah.
So the government is helping people have more spinach, too.
Yeah.
So it's something to keep in mind.
That
I mean,
is
it's
good.
Not on the same scale as, like, you know, the huge subsidies that go to agribusiness, but
yes.
It's something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to hope that continues. I think I have to believe that as we have climate change, one of the things that's going to be affected is, you know, large scale farming, that they're going to that and they well could be affected. I just feel like, and you can speak to this. Do you think that local family farms can roll with the changes in the climate a little bit better than big agribusiness could?
Well, theoretically, there is more resilience within a small, diversified farm.
Yeah.
Even just like the practical parts of what kind of equipment you have and what you can grow. I mean, clearly, like we do about 3 acres cultivated. And, you know, we're not going to be able to provide food for all of Mansfield.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
that's why we have lots of farms.
Well, right. And so, you know, these big farms in the Midwest that are growing acre upon acre of corn or further wheat, that's really important too.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of specialized equipment. grow specific crops.
Right.
And as climates shift, their equipment might not be relevant anymore, because it might happen that, you know, the zone for cotton production moves further south. I'm sorry, further north. And you know, everything might kind of shift. And
right.
So if farmers are kind of on the edge of their zones right now for different crops, it might change for them. And then they have to change over equipment. And that's really challenging, because a lot of farms, you know, get inherited through generations, and their wealth is in their land and their equipment.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have a lot of cash on hand.
Yeah.
And so if they need to, like, radically change production methods, that might affect the bottom line insolvency of a business. So,
I didn't even think of that.
Tricky
stuff. One of the things with climate change is that bioregions are shifting.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that. That where you can grow crops is tracking north. Oh, my goodness. If we get to a point where we can grow oranges here, that will be nice, but it will also be bad.
Right. Yeah.
That'll be a sad
day. I mean,
day.
It will mean no more apples and maple syrup. That's for right. sure. Already syrup is getting tricky, but yeah.
Oh, that's hard. So, all right. So we actually have to wrap up. So let's make sure that we've got one more announcement of, first of all, the events that you guys wanted to talk about. And second of all, any contact information that you wanted to provide.
Right. So we're Cobblestone Farm, CSA.com. You can find our farm specifics there. And then the Storrs Farmers Market is storrsfarmersmarket.org. And there's tons of information there. This coming season, we're going to have a special event on the first Saturday of every outdoor month. So May through October, first Saturday, something awesome. Particularly relevant to your listeners today might be June 1st, we're having a health and wellness day, and that's looking pretty great. Like, we have a number of yoga studios coming, massage therapists, cranial sacral oils kind of people, a whole host of different things. So that'll be really fun.
Yeah.
But stay tuned for all of that for
yes,
sure.
That's great. And don't forget that the Storrs Farmers Market is happening. It's twice a month during the winter months.
That's right.
The winter months being December, January, February, March, April.
Yep.
And there's one happening this Saturday.
That's
and
right.
It's 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Buchanan Auditorium of the Mansfield Library on Warrenville Road, Route 89 in Mansfield.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you got that. And then we have the Friends and Farmers Family Fun Night.
Yes.
Right.
Next Friday. From
yes.
5:30 to 8:30 at the Mansfield Community Center.
That's February 22nd at the Mansfield Community Center from 5:30 to 8:30. Yes. And then you have the
Know Your Farmer Fair.
Yes.
On the 23rd, Wyndham Town Hall, 10 to 1.
Which is Saturday.
So yeah.
Next day, Saturday, February 23rd, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Wyndham Town Hall, which is at 979 Main Street in Willimantic, Connecticut. Yes, which is the corner of Main Street and High Street. And it's right across the street from the Willimantic Brew Pub.
Yeah, you could come visit some farmers, go get lunch downtown.
That's
totally.
Right. Support local business. All right. Have we talked about all of the events that we wanted to make sure we talked about? Okay.
I think we're great.
All right. Well, my goodness, Diane and Sydney, thank you so much for coming on Radio Naturopath today. It was really wonderful to have you. And this is a very appropriate venue for you, because I'm always excited about supporting local farming, local food farming, and local events to get people in touch with their local farmers and how to eat more healthfully and understand where their food comes from. And, this is an extremely critical and key part of people's basic health. So thank you so much to both of you for coming here today.
We really appreciate
being
here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND. naturopathic physician with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week with our very special guest, Carl Goldkamp, ND. So you want to listen to that because he's going to talk about his healing journey from getting from inflammatory bowel disease to wonderful health in his late 50s using the ketogenic diet. So that will be a really interesting and exciting episode. So tune in next week to Radio Naturopath at 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. Bicycle Talk is up next.
The commercially licensed cooperative kitchen, CLIC, in Willimantic, was founded to help small entrepreneurs